Welcome to the Watchman Weekly End Time Exposé on Bible Prophecy. Get ready for teachings that will empower you for dominion as an end time believer and equip you for the times and seasons in which we live. You are now listening to the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Did you see the drama which has been happening in our country? The political drama, but some of you missed the real headlines. The real headlines were not what you saw. The real headlines were spiritual. You see, when they tell you that they are going to get a Rolls Royce, but they are not going to get a Rolls Royce because somebody has built a house with floors under, and the last floor down is just like a hoard of hoards of the devil, like a lot of witchcraft. By the way, let me tell you, people like that, you have to handle them in the spirit before you handle them outwardly. But you see, she's one of many fools who thinks you can take on this old man using the kingdom of darkness. He's an expert there. He has been doing those things for almost all his life. So if you are going to put him down, you have to put him down from what? Where we are. Because where we are, somebody who got born again yesterday is above him. But in that kingdom, so they were interested in finding the Holy of Holies. And there was a Holy of Holies down there where there was a lot of things. I'm told the people who were sent there first had to take off. Do you remember the story of a guy who was taken to court, and the guy brought bees? And you know, Uganda is becoming interesting. You know, Chigara Chitani Sokunyumba. The guy was taken to court, and what was the case? And then the guy said, okay. So he unleashed bees and everybody took off. He came from prison. Even the prison guards took off. And now, after they take off, the man walks away. Walks amidst them like this and goes. And for him, the bees are not touching him. So now this film is becoming what? Interesting. You know, long ago it said film ya masas. like it's interesting. So now the holy of holies was first of all removed, then somebody was dismantled. Praise the Lord. That's what it took to dismantle somebody. You thought it was about you have military and what? Wah. When people have invested a lot in that realm, you don't just do it. I remember there was a time when the Masiro, this Buganda, whatever, burnt in Chisubi. Then that old man went there to see the Masiro. Then he walked in to inspect. Now he reached a place where inside there is the Holy of Holies of what? Of the Buganda kingdom. There. Those Buganda guards came and told him, you are not entering here. Even if you bring all your guns, you can't enter here. They stood there and withstood him. Because if he enters there, he subdues the whole kingdom. So they could not let him come into the what? Into their Holy of Holies. But now, here they had to use equipment to get into somebody's Holy of Holies. And that's where the whole story was. But you see, for you, you are looking at other things. Royce and what? Man, this world is so spiritual. At every level, by the way. At every level, praise the Lord. Amen. So now, the scripture says, now when we see what we are up against in what the kingdom of the world is doing, we understand that we have a mission to go and implant what we are doing there. And you see, I told you before, that, and I've told you this here before, that it is our responsibility to show those people that we serve a God who is superior to them. You see, he can only be superior when we who serve him understand who we serve and we stand up to it. Okay? And we stand up to it. And you show them that there is nothing you can do, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in you. You understand? So now, remember, it does not say greater am I than you. No. It's not about who I am and who you are. It's about who is in me. Praise the Lord. Do you understand? So it doesn't matter how much AME you have, how much SFC and what, greater is he that is in me. It's not about me. Me, I don't have SFC and drones and what and prisons. No, I don't. But greater is he that is in me. So this is a battle of gods, not a battle of human beings. Is your God superior to mine? No. Therefore, there is nothing you can do to me. Simple. Now you see, when you stand up and assert that. Now when somebody has not understood the God they serve, they start quaking. You see? So they come, they can, like, let's say, get you scared and what and all that. And then you forget who you are and what you carry. And he that is in you. And then you start looking at yourself, which was not what God ever intended. He doesn't intend you looking at yourself. He knows who you are. But it's about who is in you vis-a-vis who is in him. And there is no comparison. Praise the Lord. Now, this is what we have to impose on people. Amen? That's why that time I told you, when I saw clearly in a, you know those morning visions where they had taken me somewhere in a drone with two other people and were going to hang us. And the vision ended before they had hanged us, but I could see the gallows. Now, that's why I told you some guy ran out of the country. If he hadn't gone, they were going to kill him, by the way. I can assure you that, because I saw that. But now, you see, for me, I can't run, because greater is he that is in me. I'm here. Amen? I am here. Let them come. They can't. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You have to understand that. That is not just a saying. That's not just, that has got to be your conviction. Total conviction. That if I serve the Almighty God, who is responsible for all these things, and I'm doing his will, there is nothing you can do. Absolutely nothing. So, when I woke up, for a very split second, you're tempted to go in the direction of fear. But then you remember, no. It can't happen like that. That's not how the story ends. Nobody is in charge of how my story ends. Amen? Except God and myself. So you say, no, I'm not going to go. And then, that is our mission, this generation, this end-time church, is to prove to the people of the world that we serve an almighty God. You see, because even in ancient kingdoms, battles were not fought between kingdoms. They were fought between the gods of kingdoms. So when Sennacherib comes to Jehoshaphat and tells him, do not let, or to Hezekiah, who was the king of Judah, and tells him, do not let anybody deceive you that your gods will protect you. We have destroyed so many kingdoms before you, and all of them had gods. So don't let, now he's speaking on, he sent a messenger to speak on the wall, so that the people of Judah are on the walls listening to him. And they say those things to weaken your resolve, so that your people start quaking. So even if the king would summon his forces to go and fight, they would be quaking. So he says, do not be deceived. Don't let Hezekiah, your king, deceive you, because we've destroyed this kingdom. We've destroyed this kingdom. He starts naming them. And he says, did those people have gods? So now Hezekiah understood that this is not about his small kingdom. Because that was the Assyrian Empire. It had destroyed Egypt. It had destroyed all the Babylonian. It had destroyed all those areas. And Judah was a small kingdom of just two tribes. No comparison whatsoever. In actual terms, without the power of God, it would have been like just eating sumbusa. In comparison to what Sennacherib had already done to other kingdoms. But Hezekiah went. And this man even sent a letter and said, by this time, you should have surrendered. So Hezekiah went to the temple and put the letter before the Lord and says, Lord, it is true what he's saying. They have destroyed so many kingdoms and destroyed their gods, but because they were not gods. But you are the one who made heaven and earth. Then God says, leave it to me. I will handle him. And in one night, he sent an angel to come and kill 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. Just one angel. Because he had mocked his God. And he said, now, if Hezekiah had attempted to fight him as, let us fight, psych himself and what, he had no chance. But he knew where it comes from. And now this is what we are going to do. And I'm not just talking about, this is what we are going to do in this generation, this end time generation. Because this is what God has called us to do. To stand up to people who think that they are all that because they serve those demons. And show them that we serve the Almighty God. We have to prove that to them. In real terms. If you fear, you will not prove it to them. If you succumb to threats, you will not prove it to them. So it has to be something that you are convinced of, that in whatever field God has sent me, I am going to encounter people who think they are all that because they serve some small gods and they have some fake holy of holies down there. But I am going to show them who I serve. But you have to, first of all, you know, this whole thing is, you have to be introduced to who you are, first and foremost. Let's read Colossians chapter 1. Start from verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him all fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things. Let's start from verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth. Now, he has separated the things which were created as those which are in heaven and those which are on earth. Of course, the hymn is talking about Jesus. Those which are in heaven and those which are in earth. Then, he has separated even those which are on earth between visible and what? Invisible. Then he says, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. So there are thrones and there are dominions and there are principalities and there are powers which are visible. But there are also thrones and dominions and principalities and powers that are what? Invisible. And they are there. And you might be seated on some of them. But the purpose is not to keep them invisible. You see, the purpose is for you to get them from invisible to visible. Because there are thrones. There is a throne that I'm sitting on. Okay, let me put it this way. There was a time when I was not the watchman, because there was no watchman ministries and there was no this ministry of end time and so on. But that means that throne, but that throne was mine and was there, but was invisible. So I had to make a step to go and start something and move in a certain direction to make it visible. So that now, if I say I'm the watchman, I'm not talking about something invisible, it's there. But the other thrones also which I'm seated on, which are up as of now still invisible, But I have a duty, and you as well, to go and make the thrones which you're sitting on to become visible to everybody. Right now, they are in the spirit, and only you and God might know that this is my throne. This is my place. This is where I'm supposed to be. But you are supposed to get it from the invisible realm and implant it on earth where everybody looks and says, yes, that's your throne. And now it is not something which you're talking about somewhere. It is something which people can see. But it has to start from there. And you have to first of all know that you occupy it in that invisible realm. And before you occupy it in the visible realm, you have to first go and occupy it in the invisible realm. And then take up that place. And then own it in the invisible realm. That's in the spirit. And then when it starts manifesting here on earth, there is nothing anybody can do because it has come from there and it's already a reality. It's just a reality which is unfolding out here. Amen? Because I'm sure you know, of course, everybody knows that the parent realm is the spiritual realm. Everything first happens there before it happens here. So when you sort it out there, it definitely happens here. Now, you see so many people try to have breakthroughs in business, in finance, and in what, and so on, without ever taking time to go and handle it in the invisible realm. So they come here and they are struggling because they are coming up after. They are trying to do something which does not exist. But if you learn how to, you know, manage it in the invisible realm, and even sometimes even just speaking and saying, there was a time I was, sometimes you just have to speak, even just even understanding it and knowing. There's a time I really needed money, and I started speaking. Now, this was just out of desperation, really. But I think I might have stumbled on something. I said that, you know, Jesus said that, keep your treasure in heaven. Eh? So I said, no, Lord, I know I have treasure in heaven, but I need it here now, right now. Because things are tight in the here and now. So can you please pass on that treasure now? My bank account, just reduce it a bit and bring it here. And I was praying. And actually, something happened in that direction. So now it has to start from that. So it says now invisible and invisible. Now everything you are going to be has to first be seen, has to first be in the invisible. But it is there. It's not that it is not there. It is there. You're not talking about things which are not there. They are there. But they are just not in the in this realm which we can see. But this realm we can see is at the bottom. Those things are up there. That's why he says, blessed be the God of our Father Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You see, now you have to first be blessed in the heavenly places. He doesn't say blessing here. Because when you're blessed there, you will be blessed here. And it happens automatically. And you have to know how to go and operate, you know, your blessings from up there and come and claim them here. In other words, get your throne of your blessings there and come and get them. So it says, whether thrones, dominions, principalities, power, they are those which are visible and those which are invisible. All things were created through him and for him. Now go to verse 19. So he says, for it pleased the Father that in him all fullness should dwell. Verse 20. And by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him. To reconcile what? All what? Does it say all people? Does it say all people? It says all things. It's not just talking about people. It's talking about things. Because those things are antagonistic to God. So every money that is not in the hand of a believer is antagonistic to God. So you have to go and reconcile that money with God by getting it and putting it in your pocket. That's the reconciliation. He doesn't say all people. You understand? So now, even this politics, we have to reconcile it to God. Because you have a president who is a deep witch fighting a speaker who is a deep witch. Like, they are all antagonistic to God. But somebody has to come and sit on that throne and say, now there is no antagonism with God. I have reconciled the political throne of Uganda to God. You understand? That's why he does not say reconcile all people. There are businesses which have to be reconciled to God. Because right now they are being run by witches. And remember, he says he created all things for Jesus. Everything God made, everything that is a creature. Just like you have your one son, and all your will says just leave everything to him. Now, everything God created was by Jesus and for him. But those things became antagonistic to him when Adam sinned and the devil deceived him. But now it is our responsibility to reconcile those things back to Christ. So when it comes into your hands as a child of God, it is reconciled to God. That includes money, that includes thrones, that includes businesses, that includes, you know, every field that you can think of, which is antagonistic. Now think about, for instance, the food industry. Food industry. Very antagonistic to God. Giving out poison. Giving people poison in the name of food. And people are getting very unhealthy. I was seeing that in America, there are kids who are obese but are malnourished. But they are fat. But they are malnourished. Do you know why they are eating food which is not food? Which has no food value? They give you something which is like food which satisfies you. But actually, your body is not getting any nutrients. So you just grow big and big, but your body is starving. But they are making money. Now that is antagonistic to God. Now somebody, somewhere, has to go and reconcile that to God and start giving people actual food, which actually feeds the body and gives nutrients. Think about, let's say, the cosmetic industry. I was seeing how people were saying they were getting, there is a lot of carcinogens, cancer-causing things, in things like deodorants and even perfumes. So you get a nice expensive perfume and you put them on the neck, don't you? And then people have, and you smell good, but it can cause problems because the whole industry is antagonistic to God and therefore antagonistic to men. So somebody has to go and reconcile it to God and take it away from that antagonism. So he says, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Go ahead. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. So the first thing was to reconcile man to himself. Now, when he reconciled you to himself through Jesus Christ, and you're receiving Jesus Christ, and you're reconciled to God, now that means you're no longer antagonistic to the plan of God, then now he sends you to go and reconcile all other things. So you get born again and now you're reconciled. Then he says, now I'm sending you, go and reconcile politics. It is antagonistic. People are fighting over witchcraft. Go and reconcile it. Then he says, you go and reconcile business. You go and reconcile this. Go and every field, come and reconcile it to him. That's why he says all things. And yet now he has reconciled. Now you see, you are alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Yet now he has reconciled. Go ahead. In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. So this is what you are in his sight. You might not be this even in your own sight. Amen? But in his sight, you're holy, blameless, and above reproach. Now, this bothers so many people. In his sight, but in other people's sights, we know who you are. You're fake. I'm joking. But you see, in his sight, you're holy, blameless, and above reproach. That's what it says. Reconcile you in the body of his flesh to present you. So as far as God is concerned, you're holy, blameless, and above reproach. As far as other people are concerned, we know your fakeness. even yourself, you know your own fakeness. But that's you. But God says, ah, you're holy and blameless because you were reconciled by Jesus. And don't forget, you became antagonistic because of Adam. So if Adam made you antagonistic when you were not even born, you had better accept that Christ made you holy and blameless and above reproach when you were born again. You see, it has nothing to do with what you do and your fakeness. Now, I'm not saying you're fake, but I'm saying in case you are. But then you know you are. Okay, I'm joking. Anyway, so my point is to present you blameless and above reproach. In his sight, okay, go ahead. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope that is in the gospel which you had, which was preached to every creature, which was preached to every what? To every what? Does it say every person? No. Creature is anything that was created. That includes money. You have to go and preach the gospel to money. And say, you money, you are better off here than there. Because here you are not antagonistic to God. You see, it says every creature. That means gold, silver. Every creature means everything that is created. That is of creation. So now, you preach the gospel not just to human beings. And reconcile not just human beings. Everything that was created has to be reconciled to the Creator. That is your work. Under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. After he reconciled you, he gave you the ministry of reconciliation. So you are supposed to reconcile all creatures, everything that is created. That is your ministry. So when I go into a field, let's say business, and I find a place which is full of witchcraft or the occult, I come there as a minister of reconciliation and say this place has to be reconciled to its creator. And this is why I'm here, a minister of reconciliation. Now, you see, we've seen people who go into businesses. For instance, if you were to go into, I remember there's a pastor who tried to go to Chikubo to do business in Chikubo. And you see, you have to understand who you are. And also, there's a time for everything. Now, the time for these things is now. So you went there. You're selling the same items as the person there. But people will come and jump you and buy, and the people around you are selling, you know, very high turnover. And for you there from morning up to evening, counting flies, from morning up to evening. And I don't say, because of course there was a lot of witchcraft there. A lot of witchcraft. Then they also come and evangelize. They are trying to to do their own version of reconciliation. They come and say, Musumba, Binosibia Church, if you want to sell, you come and we take you where you'll get a what? A blessing. But you see now, things have changed. Praise the Lord. Something has changed, and you have to recognize that something has changed. Now when you go to a place like that, you are going to subdue them and reconcile them. And what will happen will be the exact reverse. If you know who you are. So you have to go there with knowledge of greater is he. You see, it has to be inside you. Where you're completely convinced that greater is he that is in me. Than he that is in the world. So you go and step in that place. And you say, now I've been deployed here to reconcile this Chikubo. With all its witchcraft, I am reconciling it to God. That's my business. That's what I'm here to do. And then you're confident. Absolutely confident. There is no doubt in you. Then they will see that you're confident. And let me tell you, when those people of darkness see that you're confident, do you know what they do? They flee. All of them. All of them. The one thing that makes room for the devil is fear. Once you let fear get into you and you come out of a place of quiet confidence in who you are in God, then now you start cutting out your own defenses and you lose out on an opportunity to reconcile the area in which you are going. Bit an office, a ministry, a what, you know, all these things. You go there and you're going there as a minister of reconciliation. So I'm going to reconcile all this business to God. That's why I'm here. And now let me tell you, you don't have to be a spiritual giant. You do not. You just have to know that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It is that simple. Do you know even what that scripture says? Do you know how that scripture goes? You of God, little children. It's not even talking about spiritual giants. It's talking about little children. And have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now this is a message to little children. I'm not talking about spiritual giants, little children. And children is not talking about children. Like those who are in Sunday school. It's talking about spiritual children. But he's telling them, you've conquered them. You've conquered the enemy. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So now, you go in a place like that where there is total antagonism. And you step foot there. And say, now that I have stepped here, this ministry, this industry, this thing which has been run on evil, is now going to be reconciled to God because of me, Joseph Kableta, or whoever it is you are, your name. This thing is going to be reconciled to God, whether they like it or not. I am here with a commission from God to reconcile this thing to him because he's the creator of it. The people who have been masquerading as owning it do not own it. It is owned by God. And that is the same God who has sent me here to bring back what belongs to him to him. Praise the Lord. Then you come with that mindset. And then you will see how people, somehow they know how to arrange themselves to a new reality when they realize that somebody knows who they are. But of course, when they see you a bit shaky and they can shake you here and there, then they'll start pulling their studs. And of course, it's not going to be, there will be some battles which you fight in the spirit. And you fight them. But I'll tell you this, those battles which come in the spirit, and some of you have been fighting them, they just shake you a little, a little. Eventually, you overcome them. And eventually, you come out totally on top. So, do not expect that it is going to, like, you're going as if you're going to drink cappuccino only. No, there will be some battles. But you see, you have to look at some of the people of faith. And I'm going to tell you some of the small things we can look at and we finish quickly today. Because in the book of Ezekiel, God was talking about, now this is how kingdoms fall. And this is how kingdom. If you read the book of Ezekiel, especially the first few chapters, it shows how the spiritual side of how eventually the kingdom of Judah fell to Nebuchadnezzar, and how he came and destroyed the temple, and so on. Now, you see, the strength of the kingdom was built over the spiritual strength and all other things were built over a long period of time. First of all, from David coming and conquering the place, from the Jebusites, then calling it Zion or Jerusalem, and then eventually wanting to build the temple. Then God says, no, first wait. Then he has to wait 40 years and dies. Then Solomon comes, and Solomon takes so many years building the place. But you see, there's a foundation that is being laid spiritually at that stage. Now, at the laying of the temple, because of all the things that had happened, when Solomon had finished building the temple, he offered a sacrifice. He got so many, you know, bulls and so many animals and slaughtered them on, you know, and put them on the altar. Slaughtered them and put them on the altar. And then he prayed. He prayed to God. And while he was still praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. Now that is, and it says that the children of Israel were surrounding, all the Israel was surrounding the temple. And Solomon was standing somewhere on a dais praying. And the fire of God came from heaven and burnt the thing and the sacrifice. And the scripture says when the children of Israel saw the fire, okay, when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Go ahead. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because of the glory of the because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercies endure forever." Now this is the way the temple was, you know, established. Now Solomon dies so many generations later. Now, the same temple was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. The whole kingdom was razed to the ground. Jerusalem was razed to the ground by Nebuchadnezzar. But the process of it happening also took a while. Because in the book of Ezekiel, God shows Ezekiel. First of all, he comes and shows him, "Son of man, come, I'm going to show you what's happening." Then he goes and shows him in the spirit realm and shows him what is happening in the temple. And he sees that in the temple, the priests were actually worshipping other gods in the temple and, you know, worshipping the sun and what, and basically desecrating the whole temple. So God says, "Now prophesy to these people and say that the glory of God is going to come out of this place." Now, you see, as long as the glory of God was in the temple in Jerusalem, no kingdom would come and overthrow them because God was there. But now in Ezekiel, while other things were happening elsewhere politically, in terms of the kings, Ezekiel shows you the spiritual side of it. And he says, then Ezekiel prophesied. Then he said he saw the glory of God moving from the Holy of Holies and went to the entrance of the temple, at the entrance of the temple, and stayed there for a while. And then he showed him, "Now you see what these people," he continued showing him what these people were doing. Then he said he saw the glory of God moving from the entrance of the temple to the hill overlooking the city, overlooking Jerusalem. Then they continued doing evil. Then he said the glory of God lifted and went completely. And after the glory of God lifted, the next thing was Nebuchadnezzar comes and destroys the temple and raises it all down. Now that process takes years. The glory coming and the glory departing takes years. Because see, there was even a king, the worst king, Bible says the worst, called Manasseh. He's the one who did every evil thing. The scripture says even he exceeded the evil of the countries which God had expelled away from there. He worshipped all evil gods. Then he died after so many years. I don't know why evil people live for so long. Then he's one of the longest serving kings. And he was the most evil one. Then after him came Josiah, who was the most righteous of all the kings. And the scripture also says that, "Now for him, he completely gave his heart and soul to worshiping God. He restored everything." He said, "There is no one was like him before and after." But the fate of Judah had already been sealed. And God said that because of Josiah, he says, "Josiah has done so well, but he cannot change the fate of Judah. It's already sealed." He says, "But because of what he has done, I will delay what was supposed to happen. Let me wait for him to first rule and die. Then Judah will fall after his death." So Josiah ruled out his time because of his righteousness, but his righteousness could not change what had been done because it had been planted and it was now so deep and the glory of God had already departed. Anyway, now when you read the book of Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 14, he says that, he's talking about three men, and he says that at that time when there was so much evil, he says, even if these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they would deliver only themselves by their righteousness, says the Lord. He says it again in verse 20. Go to verse 20. Even though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, says the Lord, they would deliver neither son nor daughter. They would deliver only themselves by their righteousness. In other words, these people have become so righteous that even the most righteous people, as far as God was concerned at the time, cannot save them. So if Daniel, Noah, and Job were here, they would save only themselves. That's how wicked these people have become. But you see, I wanted to show you that. Why does he speak of these people as, you know, some sort of hall of fame of righteousness, as far as God is concerned, where he names three people and says, these ones, like these are the most righteous, but even if they were here, they could not save this country. Let's look at them first of all. Noah, let's start with Daniel. Now, what made Daniel so special? And even say this, you remember the angel came and told him, oh, Daniel, beloved among all, is because Daniel went into a hostile kingdom of Babylon and subdued it and caused the king and all the people there to fear God. So, in other words, he did what you are supposed to do. And you are going to also be special like Daniel, to go into a hostile place where people are hostile to God, and you go and change them like Daniel. Daniel turned them around completely. And eventually, the kings of Persia and Media and Persia were inquiring of him what to do, and inquiring of his God. And these are people who had their own gods, but they come and inquire of him what to do. So you walk into a hostile kingdom and turn it, flip it on its head, and make it reconciled to God. Now, that's what made them so special. Same as Noah. Imagine Noah in a time where he was not even fighting men, he was fighting Nephilim. And people had become the seed of giants. But Noah stands in that generation and obeys God to build an ark. Have you ever thought about how stupid he looked in that time when almost the whole generation was so antagonistic to God, but Noah stood up and God needed one person he would use to save humanity. And Noah stands up in the most wicked generation. That's why he's in God's hall of fame of righteousness. Yeah, because now, and he built the ark amidst what should have been a lot of resistance at the time. Then there is Job. Job is one of the oldest books in there, maybe even the oldest book in the Bible. And Job lived at a time when very few people knew God. But for him, he pursued him actively. But that's what is it that these people had? You have to use the tactics that they had to know how it is you are going to navigate going and flipping and becoming a minister of reconciliation and reconciling an industry to God. You have to see what is it that Daniel had, what is it that Noah had, what is it that Job had, apart from, of course, them being in a hostile thing. Let's start with Daniel. Daniel chapter 6. Start from verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Now, one of the first things you have to understand is there has to be a level of consistency, especially in your spiritual activity. If you went to Chikubo and you wanted to flip it and reconcile it to God, but you're the kind of believer who prays when it is convenient, when you're not tired, when you're not sleepy, when you don't have anything to do, you're not going to flip it. It's going to flip you. There has to be a background of some consistent spiritual activity. Consistent, without fail, spiritual activity. You cannot compromise on that. So, Daniel, for him to be able to turn the whole kingdom of Persia, which was so hostile, that even when God sends an angel, somebody think rules the airspace and says, no, Angel Gabriel is not going to pass here. And there has to be a war just for Daniel to receive his answer. But he's down and he's making... That's why he says, oh, you Daniel, greatly beloved. Because now... But you see, this, as was his custom since early days, there has to be a consistent background of spiritual activity, which is not based on feelings or on whims. Now, when you are the kind of person who moves on whims, I do not feel like doing something. You're not going to flip nothing. I'm telling you, you are going to go to a place and it will consume you. Because you have to first of all understand, you know, the kingdom of darkness. It says, I send you like sheep among wolves. Now, those wolves, they are very consistent in their spiritual activity. They tell them, wake up at 3 a.m. and blow. You know those things. Not somebody will do that for 40 years without missing. In their kingdom, in ours, today we have a party, tomorrow we have a what, tomorrow what, you know, yeah. So you have to learn the wisdom of Daniel. As his custom was, it has to be consistent. You see, the one thing, there are certain things which you will not get the benefit of until you're consistent. If you are an emotional person in some areas, that is true even of giving. If you are the kind of person who gives when you feel, there are days you feel rich. Then on that day you'll give. You're not going to get the full benefit of it. There has to be a consistency. There has to be something you do, come rain, come sunshine, consistently. But today you're on, tomorrow you're off. Today you feel rich, you give. The next day you feel what? You know, there was a survey during the credit crunch, which was in 2008 and 9 in America. And people were saying now when finances have reduced, what are the things that people spend less money on? And the first thing most families canceled out was giving in church. That shows where they prioritize it. Most families canceled giving in church. Now, when you are that kind of person, you get a very small benefit of it. Very small. You have to be consistent. Even in things like, you know, praise the Lord. Now, you see, I can tell you that somebody, I've told you this story before, and I'm going to tell it to you again. There's this guy who one day got a prophecy about something that he was supposed to do. And, you know, it had something to do with cutting off garlic from coming from abroad and, you know, getting garlic here because we import a lot of garlic from China and so on. So he got the prophecy and he was the one supposed to lead that thing and, you know, and we actually import a lot of garlic, $20 million of garlic from China, $20 million. So he was supposed to do that. So he started well. He started his garlic thing. He got farmers. He started packaging it, taking it to supermarkets. The first time I met him, he came and saw me. The first time I met him, he was somebody who had been giving in church, but giving in fake places. So he was very broke, extremely broke. But when I saw him, I saw somebody who had some anointing of, you know, prosperity. So anyway, I turned him away from giving those fake places and so on. So now things started moving. But he told me that God told him, wake up at 3 a.m. every night and pray for 1 hour between 3 and 4 a.m. He told me that himself. So he started praying. So he started taking his garlic to supermarkets, packaged to supermarkets. And he continued, you know, and it became a bit popular. People started buying it. So he told me now the supermarkets would be calling him once a week to replenish the supply. Then he goes and gets his check and pays. Then after some time, he even bought his first car in a long time. So now he's driving. And so things were moving on slowly. I mean, at a good rate. He told me at some stage, at the peak of it, now supermarkets were calling him 2 times a week. Bring more garlic. So every time he brings more garlic, he takes a check. So he was growing, he even started getting a stomach. You see, you can't convince people you're rich when you don't have a stomach. Now Lutuama here, if he stands with me, if we go to have dinner together, they will bring the bill to me. Because they look at him, he doesn't look frozen. I'm joking. Anyway, that was a joke. Now, so the guy started, he's telling me these things himself. So now 2 times a week, he starts, you know. So things are moving fast. Now he was getting money. He was even going and getting out growers, people to grow for him, you know, garlic, villagers and what. Now that's a business booming. Then guess what? It starts slowly. Ah, man, but tonight I'm tired. Then he misses. And the first time is the difficult one. After that, skipping becomes easy. Then he skips the first time. Then the next. After some time, he discovers that in a week you're praying 3 times, not 7. After some time, he starts saying, but you know, instead of 3, why don't I pray at 6? Now, you've changed the instructions. God's instructions, he gives them to you for a reason. Okay? Now, I'm not telling anybody of you here that you're supposed to pray at 3. That was his instruction, not yours. You get yours. You see, eh? Now, guess what happened? 1 week, he went, no supermarket called him. Then a second week, no supermarket called him. Then he started wondering. Then he went to the supermarket and said, you people, I haven't received a call from you. You mean the garlic is still there? Then they tell you, it got finished, but we had forgotten. You see, now that's how the devil has started. Eh? You see, when you enter into a period of success, you think that it is natural, that it's always going to happen. It's because you are doing the spiritual things. When you stop, then the devil will make people forget. Like, he's always lacking to see how serious you are. If you continue, you grow, and there is nothing he can do. And you flip that whole thing and reconcile it to God. But when you start getting lazy, now that's how it works. So, that's when he realizes he's in serious trouble. Then he goes back and now starts praying again at 3. But you see now, when you cut off the consistency, it's not going to come back immediately. You start again. You might have to wait a few months to go back to where you were. That's how spiritual things are. They take a bit of time. That's what I was telling you with the temple. So, anyway, that's how that whole thing goes. Now, you see, if you are going to actually reconcile an industry to God, you are going to be consistent in your spiritual activity. There is no two ways. That was the secret of Daniel. 3 times a day, he prays 3 times a day, as was his custom since early days. No changing. No when he feels like it. Read also Job chapter 1. Verse 5. So it was when the days of feasting had run their course that Job would send and sanctify them. And he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cast God in their hearts. Thus Job did regularly. You see, the key word there is what? Regularly. Now, so 1 minute, everything is okay. He has all this wealth. His children are so beautiful and, you know, and what. But there's something he does regularly to sustain all that. To sustain that. Now, if you miss out on the regularly and you think it is just going to happen, you're just going to say, yeah. Eh? You know when we would say, you'll go to heaven, but you will not flip in the industry. When you say, yeah, there is no way. There has to be something. Now you see, you start a ministry, you do what? There has to be something. Otherwise, the day you stop, you wonder what happens. Problems will come from places you don't even know they came from. So now that example I gave, always remember it, that guy. Somebody fails to call you to bring more garlic. So you are missing out on money. But because you stop, if you had continued praying, nobody was going to stop, fail to call you. The system was now oiled, running properly. And you were developing and you were growing. Are you learning something? So now you have to have something at the back of you, which this is the basis of what I intend to do. And I'm entering this industry. I'm going to turn it around for God. But this is my, you know, that was the wisdom of Job and the wisdom of Daniel. And they did it regularly, as the Aaron says, as his custom was. Then, after that, if you know who you are, and if you know how to listen to the unction of God, if you know who you are and you really know who you are, and you know how to listen to the unction of God, and you carry out your spiritual exercises consistently, you are going to flip in the industry and you will be shocked and reconcile it to God. And you will be special to him on that day, because I am the one who reconciled this industry. I am the one who reconciled Chikubo to God. I chased away all the witches. Eh? And I reconciled Chikubo to God. You see? That's why he says, let's read that 2 Corinthians 5:18 again. Now all things are of God. Praise the Lord. Remember that. All things are what? All things are of God. All things. All industries. All businesses. All things are of God. They belong to him. They've just rebelled. But they are of God. Who has reconciled us, first of all, as people in Christ, through and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, the next verse. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. You see, he's saying it again so many times, the word of reconciliation. Now, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors. You go to a place and you are an ambassador. The place doesn't consume you, you consume it. You know, an ambassador is somebody who lives in a place but does not belong to it. He's the ambassador, let's say, of a certain country. This is the ambassador of whichever country, China, to Uganda. He's in Uganda, but everything about him is Chinese. His salary is not based on Ugandan scale, is it? It's based on Chinese scale. He is not supposed to become Ugandan. Actually, the one thing that makes ambassadors lose their posting is when they become when they get mixed with the local people. They lose their posting. I remember it happened to some German ambassador who came here and loved Uganda so much, even married a Ugandan woman. And the guy was in all with digida what, and the Germans just retired him because he was no longer an ambassador. You have to behave like a German. You're here in Uganda, but everything about you is German. Even your residence is considered a part of Germany. The embassy is Germany. You see? So if somebody runs into the embassy, the government of Uganda cannot touch you there. That's why embassies have security. Because if you run there and you're a fugitive from Ugandan government, they can't touch you there because you are in Germany, even if you're in Kororo. You're actually in Germany. Remember the other guy, the WikiLeaks guy, what was he? Julian Assange. Julian Assange was wanted by Britain and America, but he went into the Ecuador embassy in the UK. And he ran into the Ecuador embassy. And he was there, and they couldn't touch him. The guy spent there 5 years in the Ecuador embassy. They couldn't touch him. He'd even come to the balcony and even address press conferences. And journalists sat down, and he's giving them bueno, and they are writing. But they can't touch him, yet they want him. Now, one time, the British became so frustrated, and they said that we are going to break into the Ecuador embassy and take him out. Then the Venezuelan president at the time, called Hugo Chavez, told Britain, you dare do that, you will see how many of your embassies across the world will be violated. We will break into all your embassies around the world. So Britain said, okay, we can't. Because those are the rules. So the man stayed there and they couldn't touch him. So now America had to start convincing Ecuador, release the man. Ecuador said, now he has nothing against us. So now, an ambassador, the scripture says, we are ambassadors. So when you go there, you don't become like those people. You know, you have to have that sense in you that I'm an ambassador in this place. So that means I can't behave like these people here. The things that, everything about me is foreign. My salary is foreign. My security is foreign. Everything about me. When I'm here, I'm an ambassador of the kingdom of God. In a Chikubo, which is full of witches, I am an ambassador of the kingdom of God, and I'm representing a superior kingdom. And you have, you know, the dignity of an ambassador in a place. Because, and it also means you're called Your Excellency. Because ambassadors are called what? Your Excellency. So, you're in the Chikubo, and Your Excellency, the president of Chikubo, the ambassador of the kingdom of God here. I am here representing the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. Now, and then until you reconcile it to God, because all things are of God. Praise the Lord. But you see now, where so many of us miss out is consistent. Telling you people. Now, if I was to ask you and you are to be honest with you, with me, how many of you, let's say, I'm just giving an example, consistently tithe? Very few. It is all based on how you feel that day. And you will not get the full benefit of it. You see, now this guy, Daniel, would consistently 3 times a day praying. Now, for you, even coming to fellowship one time a week, that is too much. Today you feel like it, tomorrow you don't, the other day you do, the other, you know, there can't be any level of consistency. Now, that's the problem in our kingdom. There is very little, like somebody says, now from this day onwards, I'm going to do this. Like, okay, if God told me to wake up at 3 a.m., that's it. Non-negotiable. I'm going to wake up. You just do that for 1 month, then your body gets used to it. You don't even need an alarm clock. At that time, your body switches on, and you have to put it, and it becomes a part of you. And meanwhile, you do it for the first month, and you're still the same. The second month, you're still the same. The third month, you're still the same. Then you start seeing things change. And when they start changing and you stay consistent, they will change and change and change. Then you start seeing success becoming natural. You go to a place, it's like they were waiting for you. None of those things happen by mistake, by the way. You go to a place, they are waiting for you. There is some document you have to, somehow somebody is there. Somebody, because you did the spiritual work earlier. So every time you go to, there is a door open. Like that man, people are calling you all the time. The garlic is finished. Bring more garlic. Bring more garlic. Bring more garlic. Bring more. And you get into that. Now, it doesn't start like you started praying today. It starts tomorrow. No. Those things take time. But when you enter the success of it, the success becomes so natural until you stop doing what you were doing. Then you go back to struggle. And because of you, you could have continued. I'm repeating myself, I know. But there's something I'm trying to push home. That don't be so casual with some of this. Like you can actually be casual about some other things and be serious about others. There are people I know who, if Arsenal is playing, I know come rain, come, they are watching TV. If it's a Monday, if it's a Tuesday, if it's a Wednesday, you understand? They are there. But you tell them that you pray for 1 hour. A football match takes 2 hours from beginning to end, including halftime and all that. But tell them to pray for 1 hour. And yet that is going to make your success. And you struggle because you do not apply the wisdom of Daniel, as his custom was. Praise the Lord. Anyway, I've finished. Let me... Anybody who is sick, who needs prayer? Okay, then praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just pray in tongues, everybody. And let what we have said marinate. Just pray in tongues. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I thank you because you work a work in our time. And we thank you, Father, because we walk with the realization of what we are and who we are in you and what our ministry is in this time. That we are strengthened, we are empowered to go and reconcile every industry to you, because all things are of you. And now I pray for each and every person here that they may know and they may move with boldness in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now next Friday, there's something you want to start up, anything to do with startup, you just come with some sort of point of contact for people who want to start up something new or who are in the process of starting up something new. Let's say you want to start a school or some business, some endeavor, some ministry, what, something. You come and we are going to have a special prayer for it next Friday, okay? Because we are being set up to go and start in different areas. Praise the Lord.
That was the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta. Join us for our Friday fellowship starting at 6 p.m. at the Washman Grounds opposite Mukwaya Hospital near the American Embassy along the main Gabba Road. To connect to the anointing upon the Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on Facebook, The Watchman, TikTok, The Watchman Ministries, YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, X at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, or email info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on how to give resources and more, visit our website at UGWatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.